Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
So I'm curious that when we talk to George in less than an hour here, is he going to try to walk this back, Key? Is he going to try to qualify this, or is he going to stick to it?
No, George is going to say, well, he didn't mean it that way. He was saying that he could tire me out because I'm not used to boxing and he's a karate expert. That's his cap. He going to come with all that cap for y'all. Man, I've been to knock George's ass out, please.
We got to come up with some other events. We got a 5K on the books, but if we're going to do like a station-wide battle of the network stars kind of format, we need to come up with some other things. Because if it's just a matter of endurance and being able to run, there's only a couple of people that are going to compete. We need to come up with some other events that other people have a chance to win, whether it's darts or pool or
how
something
about
like that. Bar shuffleboard, ping pong.
No,
you're trying
island.
To do stuff that you got advantages
yeah,
of.
No.
I'm saying there's
no.
That's the trick. He ain't gonna talk about shuffleboard.
We ain't
grow up playing no damn shuffleboard. Man, get out of here.
I will beat you at all of those games. I'm not worried about that.
You would. And I'm gonna give you that. You can beat me in shuffleboard and what's the thing that the old people play at the with the ball
Bingo.
And they play.
Bocce.
You can beat me at bocce. You gonna do all that?
Ping pong. Pool,
ping pong.
Darts.
You gonna do all that? All that. Everything all you right. name it. Was never in my backyard.
So
you ain't
I
beat
got a
me
chance.
At darts.
You've been to bars. All of the things I just named are in bars.
Yeah, but when we go to bars, we not the type of bars that got that in there. I'm not going to those bars.
No bar. This idea we're not going to get in an octagon.
What's the game that you had at your house, LZ, where your auntie wanted to put walnuts in the collard greens? What's that thing that you throw in a little hole?
What? Cornhole.
Cornhole.
Cornhole. Yeah, remember you had that. At the top of
on the roof. Yeah,
on the rooftop. See, you might you can beat me in that too, because that's all the stuff you grew up playing. You ain't slick.
I'm not trying to be slick. I'm trying to make it equitable.
Okay. That really is fair.
What? Then me running a race against you is fair?
Guys, the visual of that
yeah,
isn't
you might
fun.
As well,
the visual
we might
is...
as well play marbles. I
there
did that.
Let's
play
marbles. I want to do this. I want
the visual
this.
Is fighting.
Visual.
People want to see you guys fight. They want the visual of it. The visual is fighting. You're sticking to by. We ain't playing darts. And everyone wants to beat up Keyshawn because he's out of shape. So that's what this bit started from.
Won't you get in the ring with me then for charity?
I would. Yeah.
Yeah, let's get in the ring
nice
for charity.
Nice size ring. Bob around
no,
a little
yeah,
bit.
Let's, no, ain't no bob around. You're going to run out the ring is what's going to happen.
So I'm going to run you out of gas.
Yeah, okay.
I got to do is dance for about, just like Jorge said. George sit down.
Okay. If that's your, if that is your...
You see what Mayweather did to McGregor?
If
got
that's
him tired
your,
and whooped
well, Mayweather
him.
Didn't have to do that to McGregor. He was going to beat McGregor regardless. if that is
him.
Your philosophy, then let's do it. Okay. I don't have no problem doing it. Because me,
fine.
I want to take my frustrations out on you anyway.
I just got to gain 75 pounds and get up in your weight class, and I'll be all right.
All right, let's take a quick call. Let's go on the Sprint People's Hotline to Sam Bernardino this time. And John, you're on the morning show. What's going on?
Hey, what's up? I had an idea. You guys can put on inflatable sumo suits. And
I love it.
I've done that before. It's uncomfortable. I did it. We did a pro.
Who did you
shoot.
Fight?
I didn't. We didn't fight anybody. It was a countdown. We did it when I was on countdown because I feel like. A guy that was a former sumo wrestler was either drafted in the NFL or he was trying out for a team or something. So we put on all these inflatable sumo suits. Man, I couldn't even move in that thing. It was crazy. Looked like the Michelin Man.
Have you done it, LZ?
Put on one of those suits?
Yeah.
No, but that looks
yes,
amazing.
You know he has. He probably got one right in the closet.
That makes it amazing. All I got in my closet. Or a couple of chains and whips.
All right. Here we go. You always got to take it to the next level.
Our quarterback conversation, we talked about who we thought was the best value. We all put there. Kind of go to the opposite. Who are the guys that are getting the most and giving you the least? The worst value per dollar that we're looking at the quarterback position, Key, the top of the list for you is who?
And I hate to do this to him. Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
I just can't, you know.
$27 million.
$27 million. They gave him $135 million contract. I get the numbers. I get the statistics. It's a throwing league. They're going to throw the ball all over the lot. But I've never, in all of watching him in his career, felt like that he was that guy. I just never. It never said anything to me. Like, oh yeah, that's the dude. Just never. I mean, you know, I understand people look at the numbers and he's thrown for 4,000 and 5,000 yard seasons and he's done. I get it. They throw the ball damn near every down in this league now. So. It's a, for me, I wouldn't have backed the truck up for him if I was the general manager, president of the Detroit Lions. I probably certainly wouldn't have because he just doesn't, you know, to earn that type of money, to me, you've got to be getting me to the playoffs constantly. You got to, even if you don't win in the damn playoffs, get me, push me to the NFC Championship game a couple times. Give me some Philip River moments. And I just, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
LZ,
how
did it. Who do you have at the top of your list?
Well, Matt Stafford is a very good pick as far as I'm concerned. As a, you know, lifelong Detroit Lions fan, and when he was up, I was very concerned about that because the Key's point, you're not even getting me to the playoffs consistently. You had one of the most freakish receivers of all time in Calvin Johnson. You gave the only thing I can think of is the non-catch catch for a touchdown. That's the only thing I can think of in that partnership. So that's awful. But the person I'm going to hang this title to is actually Carson Wentz. Mm. Because if I would give you that money, I'm at least need to know that you're going to be there. Like, are you going to be there? And every season, it just seems like through no fault of his own, but nevertheless, the vestibility is availability. And I'm giving you I'm giving you a check, and you're checking out. So I'm going with Carson Wentz. It's not fair because he's, you know, the injuries he can't help, and I'm sure he wants to play. But I'm sorry. It just is what it is.
All right. So you guys have Carson Wentz and Matt Stafford. And, Key, I'm going to put two things together here. I'm going to talk about the winning that you mentioned, that one of the things is you got to put me in the playoffs consistently and doing that. And then, LZ, one of the things that you mentioned with Matt Stafford, that he had Calvin Johnson, and they still really didn't get anything together. So this is a guy that has a ton of weapons and really has made virtually no noise in the playoffs at all. We're talking about one playoff win. It's the guy we've been talking about for weeks, if not months, Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott's going to make $31.5 million and has won one playoff game. Look at the guys on this list ahead of him.
31.5 or at least 31.5. Let's phrase it that
way.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, you're right. At least 31.5. You look at the guys that Carson Wentz got hurt, but his team did go and win a Super Bowl in large part because of the way that he played leading into those playoffs. Jared Goff has been to a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers has been won a Super Bowl. Same for Ben Roethlisberger. Same for Russell Wilson. Kirk Cousins is the only name ahead of him that has not made a deep playoff run. And I think Kirk Cousins would be a good pick, too. So I've got Dak at that number with one playoff win. That feels like he's overpaid.
Yeah.
At least he's playing.
I understand. I understand where you're looking at that at. I would argue and say, you know, he's relatively young at the position. This is only his fourth year going into the league. So it's a little early to put him in that category of, okay, he's only gone to one playoff game. Now, if he was in his sixth, seventh, eighth season, and we're talking about one playoff game, then that's something different. But when you're entering into your fourth year in the NFL, that's or your fifth year in the NFL, I certainly wouldn't say that about him just yet, because there's a number of quarterbacks, notably that turned out to be Hall of Famers, that first 4 years in the NFL wasn't where they were at the end in their careers in the NFL.
Okay, so your first pick, Key, was Matt Stafford. Who's next on the list?
It would be Mitch Trubisky.
That was my pick.
I took it. Mitch Trubisky doesn't say that you can't use Mitch Trubisky, but Mitch Trubisky is a guy that they moved up for in the second round. 3 years later, while Patrick Mahomes is getting ready to break the record for about $350+ million, and Deshaun Watson is somewhere in the same neighborhood, at the end of the day, they're getting ready to replace you with Nick Foles, that is a backup, perennial backup quarterback around the NFL. They're getting ready to replace you with Nick Foles, dude.
It's never a good sign.
Not a good sign.
LZ, your second pick.
So because he took my pick, I'm going to go with the other guy who's getting paid millions of dollars, and every single time you say his name, you start laughing. And that would be Nathan Peterman. Nathan Peterman. See, all you do is say his name and people start laughing. He's making more than $2 million, which in the grand scheme of things is not a lot of money in professional football. But because you are universally laughed at the mention of your name, it still makes you overpaid. So I'm going to say Nathan Peterman making $2.1 million makes him an egregious, egregious purchase.
It's not a good purchase. So for my second guy, and this is a guy that's done a lot in the league, he's been around a long time, but when you look at where he falls on the list, you look at the amount of money that he's going to make coming into this season, we're talking about a $25 million guy, been around a long time, coming off of a terrible season, kind of a shot in the dark. This is not a referendum on his entire career. I'm talking about right now at that number, Phillip Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
That Phillip Rivers is making 25. Phillip Rivers was the reason the Chargers were bad last year. It wasn't because the Chargers had bad players or bad coaching. Phillip Rivers had a bad season. That he got $25 million to go run back another bad season on a new team, that seems like a terrible way to spend your money.
Well, I think that they felt as though he could do some things different than Jacoby Brissett, although they're on the hook to pay Jacoby Brissett a lot of money. When you look at Phillip Rivers in the system with his former coach, they got some pieces in Indy. They could make a run in the division and get hot. And, you know, I don't mind it based on his body of work. I don't know that it's going to work. I think this is one of those deals where I'm giving you a parting gift just because I like you.
Jacoby Brissett makes nearly $28 million, too. They're spending over $50 million on their quarterbacks. That seems like a bad way to allocate your money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It ain't my money. But here's another one for you. My other one is Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I know a lot of people like Fitzy because he went to Harvard. He has the beard. He's cool.
He's smart. $5 million.
He wins a few games. But I could waste that $5 million on a young quarterback that I could just, if I want to win a game or two and develop somebody, I'll just do Josh Rosen. Because you're not going anywhere with Fitzpatrick.
Would you rather have Ryan Fitzpatrick at $5 million a year or Jacoby Brissett at nearly 28?
I'd rather have Jameis Winston at one.
That's not what I asked. Jacoby Brissett at 28 or your guy Fitzpatrick at five? I mean, Brissett's a far worse value.
I would rather have Ryan Fitzpatrick for the money, but I can get that guy, that same guy, for less money. Ryan Fitzpatrick ain't better than no damn Jameis Winston. I don't care what nobody say.
Including Bruce Arians?
I don't care what anyone says. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not better than Jameis Winston, dog. You can't get nobody in the NFL to really agree with that. I don't care. Bruce Arians got Tom Brady. Let's see what he do with that. He got his wish. Let's see what he do with it.
Yeah, but Key, Bruce Arians had success with more guys than just Tom Brady.
I would have success with more guys too if I tapped my name to him.
No, Big Ben, Carson Palmer. It's not
Big
like
Ben
he's
was
had
already
guys.
Good. Big
I mean,
Ben
he's
was
done
already
a really
Carson
good
Palmer was already good. Carson Palmer was already good. I'm just telling you.
So the only measure of good is taking a guy that's terrible and making him fantastic.
Well, the great coaches, anybody can find Michael Jordan. Come on, man.
It's when you take
a guy and you take Tom Brady like Bill Belichick did and that staff, and you take him in the sixth round and he's the best quarterback that ever played. You develop him into that. Or you take Lawrence Taylor in the first round and he's the best linebacker to ever play the game. There was no dip off. That's when you're developing players.
USC Athletic Director Mike Bone has responded to the Cal State system saying they're going to go online in the fall. We'll hear from him next and what USC is trying to do.
He's finally coming on?
He's not coming on, but we're going to hear from him anyway on the morning show on 710 ESPN. It's the cower and fear that makes it. He huddled in the corner, not wanting to make eye contact. I don't think we're going to get that. I think he's going to make it to Crosstalk in one piece. I'm not worried about you, Key.
I'm not worried about me either. It's a good bit. Good for radio, sports talk radio, especially since we can't really talk about live games. How many of you guys watched the Cleveland Golden State deal last night?
A little bit here and there, not a ton. I
turned it on and turned it right off.
Yeah, it's always fun to watch LeBron. It's always fun to watch these, but it just the recent classics. I don't have as much interest in as the classic classics, like the older ones that you kind of forget some of the beats, but I feel like I watched this game a week ago.
I mean, there's really not much to say. It's like, you know, we're doing the best we can in terms of trying to keep some sort of sports going, but we really need more variety.
It's so funny. These things keep changing day to day, right, about the sports, about what we're going to do, whether it's Major League Baseball, whether it's the NBA, Travis, whether it's the NFL, where now you got David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, saying that football is going to resume, and it's going to resume with fans, just not full stadiums. And then tomorrow we'll have somebody else from the NC2A say, oh, football's not going to happen this year because kids aren't on campus.
The problem with the college football, at least the NFL, they're all going to do the same thing. Whatever the ultimate decision gets made, whether it's to play in full stadiums, partially full stadiums, or empty stadiums, they're all going to collectively do it. College football is not really governed by anybody, so they're all able to kind of do their own things. What the SEC wants to do and what the Pac-12 want to do are going to be totally opposite. So it's going to be hard to get everybody on the same page.
Yeah, but it's just funny how everybody has a different message at the end of the day. All of them saying, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. College football, at the end of the day, the SEC is going to drive it. The ACC is going to follow it up. The Big Ten is coming. Then the Pac-10 or Pac-12 is going to – and all of them are going to play at the same time, whenever that time is.
Sure hope so.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. It's going to – because at the end of the day, let's say SEC starts off and they play in September when the season starts. And then what? Then what? You going to just keep playing now when the season's over if nobody else plays, which is season's over?
No, the idea of one league having a spring season seems silly. It seems like it's just not – for all the reasons you said, that one, no one else is playing. You're just going to play your league and have nothing else going on. And two, the draft. I mean, all of these Power 5 conferences we're talking about, they've got NFL players on their team.
I can absolutely tell you with certainty, 100% certainty, that there's a number of players, as LZ say, I've spoken to in college sports here in the last several weeks, that will forego their senior years if there's no football to be played and get ready and concentrate on the NFL. That is my advice to them, and I've spoken to several, that if there is no football, if there is no football that takes place, you need to step down and get ready for the NFL. Because what the NFL is not going to do is delayed a draft process. They're not doing that for y'all.
No chance. Here's the athletic director at USC, Mike Bone, who's relatively new to the job, talking about
– He's calling in. He's calling in. Mike's on the phone?
Not quite on the phone, but he was talking about the schedule on Freddie and Fitzsimmons.
I know that for the first almost 4 weeks of the challenge, we met every single – morning as a group of ADs and with the commissioner and with his staff. And we always talked about, all right, what can we do collectively? What can everybody do together? What works for the entire group? And spending so much time on that. So again, I believe that collegiality, that collaboration, and that teamwork is valuable. And I think that's why we've looked at models in the event we needed to just have conference play, and then the ability to maybe manage different pieces with that. So obviously that's just one element that's a part of that. But again, my hat's off to my colleagues and the commissioner for really pulling us together and beginning to really scratch it. Viable solutions on scheduling with the unknown out there associated with what other institutions' challenges are.
Jorge.
Jorge.
Hey, ¿qué pasó, amigo?
Collegiality.
What happened?
Did you catch that, Rod?
Collegiality.
Did you catch that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, why you just didn't say we came together and it worked? And
we're
on the same ground. Or why couldn't you do that? You ain't got to sound like a damn AD.
Because he's smart.
Look.
Oh, God.
Listening to that, I think, is a really good insight into why the Pac-12 is probably at the bottom of the stack when it comes to the Power Fives. Instead of finding a way to get on board with everyone else and compete with the SEC and the Big Ten. And I understand that there are different challenges in different places. I'm fully aware. But if you're going out of your way to try to find a way to have just your season, that doesn't make a ton of sense to me. The Pac-12 season does not matter the way that the college football season matters.
Well, I guess if your desire is not to play in the Final Four or the championship, then it does matter to you. If you just think going to the Super Bowl in San Diego, then go right ahead. You know, do you. I'll watch it. Do you, though. I'll watch it. I'll watch you play Oregon State. I ain't got no problem watching that. Arizona State, not a problem. Would have liked to have seen you possibly play against Alabama, but since you've given us the notion that that's not really what you want to really, really, really do, then we'll just accept what you give us. That's what we'll do. Meanwhile, the Big Ten, the ACC, and the SEC will continue to thrive in making money and doing the things that they do.
And winning football games and winning championships and winning and getting invites to the Final Four. Yeah. All the things that
have people tune in to watch their games consistently all the time, no matter what time of day it or night it is, where the Pac-12 conference will continue to try to figure out how they can get on the same page outside of USC and maybe Oregon.
It wasn't that long ago that the Pac-12 was toe-to-toe with these teams, that they were competing for national championships, that they were putting as many guys in the NFL, and it turned fast. And I don't know if it's the leadership of the conference.
I was going to say that. It's almost like since Larry Scott came over, since he came, which is a good guy, he came from the tennis world. He's a nice gentleman. I've had the pleasure of meeting him several times. It's almost like it turned since he took over. It just shifted really quick.
I mean, I don't know how you're supposed to compete for national championships when you're only talking to your guys. And I get it. There are circumstances, but I guarantee you the SEC and the Big Ten are talking. The ACC is involved in those conversations. We saw that they're trying to replace USC with TCU potentially. So the Big 12 is clearly engaged in these things. I don't know why isolation is the way to do this.
It's one of those deals where you don't have the teams in the Pac-12 conference outside of USC and Oregon. Arizona State I like a lot because of Herm, and I like the direction that they're headed. Outside of those three teams in the Pac-12, I really don't see a draw. I mean, Washington had some momentum a couple years ago.
So did Stanford.
Stanford had some momentum, but Stanford's going to always be Stanford. They're never going to be a feared national powerhouse because of the way that they've been positioned from an academic standpoint. No matter how great the football program is going to be, they're still going to be considered an academic institution.
UCLA fell off a cliff.
Because they haven't won a national title. Unlike Duke in basketball is an academic institution, but in basketball, they're the blue bloods, and they are certainly the top of the food chain. When you look at some of these other teams, you start to say, well, okay, you got three teams in the Pac-12, and I named the three. Other than that, it's like Washington was okay at once upon a time, but now it's like, what are they?
They're not competitive on that level the way that they used to be. Nor is UCLA. UCLA used to be in the mix too.
UCLA is always – they were always in the mix. We thought Chip Kelly would got them over the top, but we sort of felt that Chip Kelly was going to struggle based on the landscape of how they recruit, the players that they recruit, and how he was coming in to a situation. The best thing that they could have ever done, in my opinion, was work with Mora to get him to do some things staff-wise and let him run it back a couple years before they made a decision to part ways with him.
All right, sports are open in Florida, but one Florida baseball player says, I'm not going back, and it's the reason you think. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you, like your mom when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
But the Korean baseball highlights here, guys. Obviously, the stands are empty over there. Did you guys see where Joe Buck said that Fox is probably going to pipe in some artificial crowd noise when we get back to baseball, that they're going to try to fill some of that silence with some manufactured sound? You like that idea?
I do. Somebody talked to me about that with the NBA. They said pipe in the artificial noise, especially the sounds, doom, 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 doom.
Yeah.
You know, all that sort of stuff. I think that that'll be cool. I think if, especially if you can get minimum people in the – even if you can get – like, let's say, for instance, you get minimum people in the stands. You got the – for somehow you can get 5,000-6,000 scattered in the stadium. Mm-hmm. And you pipe in crowd noise, as long as you can see people moving around in the stands a little bit, I think it'll be cool. I really honestly do.
I do, too.
Forget about the sound. What about these restaurants that want to put mannequins in the, at the table, so when we social
distance,
it still feels like –
that's going to be weird.
No, I don't want to.
That's a weird – that's some weird
that's
stuff.
Creepy.
Yeah, that's creepy and weird.
You know, you make sure that it feels like there are people in the restaurant.
Yeah, well,
no,
I'm
it'll feel like
I'm
you're in there
down,
with a bunch
think
of mannequins.
You sitting down? Excuse me, sir. Oh, he doesn't speak. Okay. Can you hand me the pepper? Oh no, sorry, sir. Is it okay if I borrow that napkin? It's like, come on, man.
Hey, girl, can I get your number?
Like, oh man, she fine. Ooh, that's a mannequin. Okay.
Okay.
Weird stuff.
Well, of course she's gonna be fine. It's a mannequin. They're not. I mean, well, never mind.
That well, I don't like, think mannequins are fine, but never mind.
Yeah, that's another.
You got. Hey, look. I didn't know that about you, Trav. But I get it.
No,
I
you gotta listen, now. Man. You gotta take your fingers out of your ears and listen to what's going on.
Move along.
This is a dead end. I'm not going down there. But you, the weirdest thing I think poor about
Susan.
Having sports on TV with no fans is the silence. It because if you've watched any of this Korean baseball or any of these other things that have been done with nobody, it's really quiet. It's just the event itself plus the chatter of the announcers, that the ambient sound, the murmur of the crowd, it's got to be in there. Whether it's real or artificial, you have to fill that silence.
Well, see, the thing is okay, I kind of like the Miami Dolphins plan about the way they want to introduce the fans in the building. I just need to know how you're going to get them in and get them out. And what is it going – you know, how you going to get them in and get them out? Because if you go and you look at some of the non-NFL football or even some of the non-NBA basketball, and when you see scattered crowds, you know, the AFF or whatever it was called, the stuff that mm-hmm. they just had, or the wrestling thing that they just had.
XFL.
When you look at that, there's these huge stadiums, and everybody is between the 50, the 30 and the 50, right? But if you scatter that out amongst the stadium and you got patches in it, like a bad college football game, then you could it feels better. It just feels better. And you pipe in noise along the way. It feels better. You allow the home team to pipe in whatever they want to pipe in. When the center, he's underneath the center, if you want to scream loud, pipe that in. If you want music loud, pipe that in. And I think that that will give us a sense of some sort of
normalcy of the stadium. You want it actually in the building, not just necessarily on the telecast.
I want it in the building. If it's in the building, it's in the telecast, basically, right?
All I know, if I'm the Atlanta Falcons and people start piping in noise and stuff, I want my refund. Remember when they were fined for piping in noise and stuff like that?
Well, the Colts did the same thing in Indy.
Yeah, they
piped
did too.
In noise.
You're right. They
yeah, teams pipe in noise all the time. That's just a little trick.
In New York,
we used to let up the garage door. In the tunnel, we would let it up. They get ready to kick a field goal. All of a sudden, it's up. It's like, well, wait a minute.
Wind's
and now
falling.
The wind comes through the tunnel. Tricks, huh? Tricks of the trade.
The telecast is going to be as important, too, as the in-person experience, because the in-person experience is going to be very limited if we have it at all. But it's got to feel like a football game on TV. The football is fine, but you got to have some noise. You got to have when somebody makes a big catch, you got to hear something other than just, Calvin Johnson or DeAndre Hopkins makes a great catch, and then there's nothing. You got to hear some buzz.
No, you do, but if they did it in the stadium, the audio from the telecast would pick that up.
They're going to have it.
you know, you pick it up. I like having a few. I mean, like, look, there's 60,000 seat stadiums, man. If you can put 15,000 butts in a seat scattered around in the Coliseum, that would be fine. It would be fine. And then you allow whoever owned the boxes to utilize their boxes, and they go all through separate entrances. And that, you know, and on top of that, you are certainly taking temperatures and doing the things that the health experts say you should be doing. I don't see how it would go bad. But I'm not a medical expert, but I'm just wishing.
Blake Snell's not going to be there no matter what. He says he's not playing. Tampa Bay Rays pitcher, quote, "I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine, okay? And that's just the way it is for me. Like, I'm sorry you guys think differently, but the risk is way the hell higher, and the amount of money I'm making is way lower. Why would I think about doing that?" That's going to land like a lead balloon with every one of the 35 million people that have applied for unemployment in the last couple of months. I get his point, globally speaking, but man, does that look bad, sound bad, when you have a guy that's scheduled to make $7 million saying, "I won't do it."
No, I really don't get what he's saying, to be honest with you, because if you just gave out a number of 30 plus million people without mm-hmm. jobs, I don't get his point. I just don't. You know that they're not. You know, and everybody else knows that the owners aren't trying to part with money that they feel that they don't have to or they should. And you say these statements publicly, you do nothing good for the rest of the players. You make athletes look bad and greedy on top of that. That's why it's always best to have one or two major voices. That's why you have PAs to talk for you. That's why you have unions to speak for you. So you don't have to do those things. You because now, no matter what you do, even if you came back today and said, "Well, I was frustrated, and, you know, I was thinking about it, and I'm just tired of what the owners are trying to do," and you still gonna look bad because it's out there now. LZ got it. He gonna Google it. Look, see, this is what you said on this day and this time, and it looks bad. It looks bad. And at the end of the day, I understand that there was a conversation that was had of the cancellation of spring training where we would all get a share of
a prorated share
based on our salaries of the games that we play. But that was in the thinking of, we're going to have butts in the seats. We're going to be able to open up the gates. We're going to sell popcorn. We're going to sell all the things that we need to do to create the revenue. Times have changed several months later where we're not going to have that immediately, but we still want to be able to satisfy the taste buds from a television standpoint and an audience and a fan base standpoint. So here's how we divvy up the revenue. Maybe we now go to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and all these other social media companies to sell our streaming rights to make up some of the difference. But to say that you're not going to do it, period, because you need to get the money, isn't cool.
It's not cool, but I understand where he's coming from. It's not cool, but I just wished he would have positioned it differently, because you do have to watch vultures in moments like this. You know, if he feels as if negotiations aren't happening in good faith, it is important that they be challenged, they being the owners. But you have to do it in a smart PR way, because your overall message would get lost. And we had Brian Windhorst on earlier today, and he talked about how some of the men and women who own these teams took advantage of the economy during the Great Recession and tried to pull some okey-dokes on the athletes in the process. So you do have to watch them, but you don't have to watch them in public. You can watch them in private, and that's the real issue here.
All right, Fight Island. We're going to get into it with George, who hatched the idea yesterday about Key getting frustrated and getting out of breath. That's next on Crosstalk with George Sedano. All right, George. So is it the Key's going to cower in fear? Is it your martial arts superiority? Is it the Key will be winded and out of gas? How do you win Fight Island against Key?
It was never about fear with Key. It was just being able to outrun him more than anything else. But, Key, if you want...
What did I tell you he was going to say? I said it right on the button, George, that's what you would say. It's not about fear. I would just, my martial arts and my kung fu you know, history will certainly win this battle with Key because I'll run him around.
Yeah, you got to catch me. That's the whole key to this thing. No pun intended.
Part of the problem is I've been running my whole life, so that ain't nothing.
You have, but you haven't been running lately, it feels like.
No, that's not true either.
Okay.
Man, that's the notion is where does this out of shape stuff? I was like, what are they talking about?
It's not out of shape, Key. It's just that Father Time is undefeated. And I think, and if we're asking to just get thrown into it with no training, I feel like right now I've actually lost 7 pounds during quarantine because I've been hiking 7 miles a day. So I'm in good shape right now.
Look, you can lose pounds and be in shape, but nobody else can.
I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying you got to catch me, and that's all I'm saying. It has nothing to do with fear, and maybe I can, you know, between the potential slightly better cardio shape and nimbleness. Because I'm a smaller package, I can move quicker than a bigger package.
Is that what you think?
Okay.
Ooh, see.
So I because love that of that, sort of stuff. then I, you know, all I got to do is look, man. We've seen it before. You know, those old school UFCs. You know, you had big guys versus little guys, and a lot of times the little guys would win.
I've never ever in my professional football career has ever been. Put in a position or had anyone say that I was stiff and not nimble. Not that football equates to what we're talking about now, but there was a reason that I was put into the slot of most of the time on third downs. It's because you have to have quickness and you have to be very agile to be able to move around the traffic and be an ambulance in all of that stuff.
So I agree. I agree with all that.
But I'm okay. I think I'm all right with my quickness when it needs to be.
I would just say the squared circle is a little different is all I'm saying. Look, all I said was the big – I was originally asked who I didn't want to fight, and I said it was LZ because LZ is by far in the best shape of all of us, and I'm also afraid that, you know, LZ
– LZ looks like he's in shape. That's because
he is, Key.
No. As I told you before, the guy on the front cover of the magazine, just because he looks that way, doesn't mean that he's in shape. That's all I'm saying.
LZ, are you there to defend yourself here?
I'm baffled. I'm baffled by his rationale. I'm baffled by this notion that, George, you're afraid of me. I wear multicolored onesies, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, but I know you got one of those purple Wakanda flowers in your backyard somewhere. I know you got one.
LZ, you admitted that you would be a dirty fighter. You admitted that there was nothing you wouldn't do to win.
Right, exactly.
As much of it as
I actually think that would be the best part of a potential fight between you and me is that neither of us would play fair.
Well, I don't fight. What you think? I'm fighting like a professional fighter? No, I'm going to fight like I learned in the streets.
Right?
I would pick up a cigarette butt and try to burn you with it if I thought it would help me.
Yeah.
I'm gouging eyes. I'm choking. I'm grabbing Adam's apples. I'm doing all that.
So Ramona asked me who the easiest person to fight would be. And I said, oh, that's easy. It'd be Mason. It's not even just.
When you say that, just looking at Mason. You look at Mason. Mason might be a five-time triple belt black. Triple belt or whatever.
Triple belt black. Key, have you seen the video of Mason face planting trying to play basketball? Like,
George,
he almost knocked himself out.
But George, I was standing about 6 feet away from him, and when he went down on that, I'm still surprised he's not dead. I've never seen somebody
hit their
face like that in my life.
To Travis's point, Key, that video is bad. Like, I don't think Mason is very coordinated.
No, I don't. I don't need to see a video. I could just see him walk in a room and know that that athletic ability is not his strength. There's no question that he got short-sighted on the DNA side. There's no question about it at all. There's certain people, as I've always said to you guys, oh, I can look at him and tell how he walks, how he moves in a room, that he's a pretty good athlete. You know, when a guy pulls the chair out to sit down,
right.
You can tell whether or not he's an athlete. You can just tell how he gets in his car. I know it sounds crazy, but you can. When guys pass the eyeball test, 9 times out of 10, they okay. He does not pass the eyeball test whatsoever. Under no circumstance at all that has to do with athletics.
Let me ask you guys this. What about Sliwa? Because he's like quiet. You know what I'm saying? Like
He could be the sleepy guy. Sliwa looked like trouble.
No, he doesn't look like an athlete. He looks like a special enforcer from somewhere.
He's got like pent up anger, I feel.
Yeah, like a special agent that you think a guy in a bar who's just chilling by himself, but all of a sudden he gonna beat up everybody in the bar because one dude tried him.
Right.
So those type of people you gotta watch.
Yeah, he just grabs like a beer bottle and he smacks one guy in the head and then he chops the other guy in the throat, right?
Yes, Green Beret style.
Yeah.
And then just very calmly walks out the front door.
Right.
Like doesn't even look over his shoulder.
How the hell did you guys just turn Allen into like Jason Bourne?
Yeah, no, Jason, not Jason Statham. Bourne.
Yeah. He's a Green Beret type, man. I'm telling you. That's what he is, a Navy SEAL that you don't even know anything about. He's working as a sports talk host undercover while he's working on something.
I mean, he lives in like a small little one-bedroom apartment in Koreatown. He doesn't need a lot. You know what I'm saying? He keeps it quiet.
It got a wall that opens up that's secret. They got a whole lot of stuff behind it.
The Sinatra Show coming up next. We'll see you here at 6 tomorrow morning on The Morning Show, 710 ESPN.